All right, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. We'll go ahead and get started. So go ahead and pull out your hymnals, and we will open up to our first song in our hymnals, song number 236. Song number 236, No Not One. No Not One. Song number 236. We'll go ahead and start there on the first. Sing nice and loud. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen. Brother Arhenis, you want to pray for us this evening? Amen. All right, so in your hymnals, go ahead and flip to song number 424. 424. We're going to start singing the Christmas songs, getting into that type of season. Song number 424. O come, all ye faithful. 424. We'll start singing there on the first. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright host of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Good singing. So at this time, we'll go ahead and go over the announcements for the evening. Go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't grab a bulletin, just go ahead and raise your hand in the air. We'll have Brother Mo bring them around to you. And on the front page, we do have our Bible memory passage. We are in Romans chapter number 8, verse 36. So we're just a few verses away from finishing this chapter out. So definitely keep working on it. If you are working on it, if you could quote a word perfect to a non-family member, you will receive a prize there at the end of that of you quoting that chapter. And then on the inside of the bulletin, we have our service times listed. Sunday morning, we meet at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening, 5:30 p.m. And we have our midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. We have our church-wide soul-winning times with respective leaders, and also our stats listed there. So this morning, we had a total of 11 salvations to report. We went out today, and then we have another three to add on there, so a total of 14 for the day. So definitely a good job soul-winning. Keep up the good job, the good work with that. We have some prayer requests listed here. We have Brother Edward Gamino with his health, so just be in continued prayer for him and his health issues. We also have the artist family, and more specifically, Sister Terry's father. Just be in prayer for his health issues and everything with everything that they're dealing with. And if you do have any prayer requests, email those into the church, and Pastor Shelley, he'll go in detail over all those prayer requests during that midweek service, and we could be in prayer for all, you know, anything that you might need. So email those prayer requests in. They're on the next page. We have some expecting ladies in the church. We have Miss Sarah Gomez. This says here, expecting in December. That is the due date, December 3rd. But, you know, we're expecting any day now. So be in prayer for Miss Sarah Gomez and the baby boy, Silas. We have Sister Corinne Darnell expecting in June. So just be in prayer for her and the growing little one. We have some upcoming events and guest preachers listed. So today, November 14th, we have Brother Chris Segura from Faithful Word Baptist Church back with us. Always a blessing having him come preach for us. November 23rd will be our Thanksgiving service. And just take note that that is on a Tuesday and not a Thursday. So that Thanksgiving week, we are not going to have a Thanksgiving service, which is on Thursday. It's going to be on Tuesday. November 28th, we're going to have Brother Chris back with us. And then December 3rd will be our Christmas caroling and pizza fellowship. December 5th, which will be that following Sunday, Pastor Shelley will be preaching both services. Then we have Brother Duncan Urbanek. We have our Christmas candlelight service on the 23rd. And then we'll have Brother Chris Segura. I mentioned this morning, he needs to get a rental house down here. He's here so often. So definitely a blessing having him and his family come down. And then we'll have Brother Duncan Urbanek back with us. And then following Duncan, we'll have Brother Ben Naim, otherwise known as Ben the Baptist. So definitely a lot of preachers to look forward to and events to look forward to. So definitely jot those on your calendars. And then if you did miss pictures this morning, we are going to be taking pictures again on Thursday for the yearbook. So if you missed the pictures, make sure to be here on Thursday for the yearbook. And then if you missed those, possibly we could work something out, but just try to be here on Thursday to get into that yearbook. But that is the announcements for the evening. Go ahead and pull your hymnals back out, and we'll have Brother Mo come lead us in our third song.
All right, turn to song number 107. Song 107, Praise the Savior. We'll sing it out there on the first. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. All right, good singing. You would turn in your Bibles. Where's the chapter at? What's the chapter, Brother Nate? Proverbs 11?
Numbers chapter 11.
Okay, Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. We'll have Brother Brandon read for us while we pass the offering plate.
All right, we're there in Numbers chapter 11. The Bible reads, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the Lord unto the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and or beat it in mortar, and bake it in pans, and make cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all of this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, and I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it came out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat the whole month. And shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered these 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained 2 of the men in the camp, that name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth the wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all the day, and all the night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he gathered the least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, and the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of the place Gibeah Hatava, because they were buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Gibeah Hatava and Hazeroth, and abode as Haroth. And let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone here, Lord. We thank you for the souls that were saved once again, Lord. We pray that you just be with us. We just pray that you be with Brother Chris Aguirre so he can preach boldly and accurately your word. We just pray that you just help us to minimize distractions and help us to be edified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you look at Numbers chapter 11, we're going to look at verse number 1 for right now. It says, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Right out the go, you can see something. The people complained, and it displeased the Lord. it displeased the Lord. And if you study scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, if there's one sin that God does not give you an excuse, not that he gives an excuse to sin, but if there's one sin that people tend to think, you know what, this is not a big deal, that's of complaining. I mean, when you look at the story, when you look what happened to the children of Israel, when they're in the desert and they don't have water to drink, they start complaining about, hey, there's not enough water to drink, what are we going to do? It seems like that's a legit complaint. You know, but on the inside, they were getting upset. And they weren't necessarily getting upset for the right reasons. They were getting upset because they thought that Moses was taking them the wrong way. And they thought, hey, you brought us out here to be killed, to die? We should have just stayed in Egypt. What's going on? So they were looking at the leadership and getting upset, and they were complaining, but that also displeased the Lord. And when you read that story, you wonder, like, hey, what in the world? It seems like a legit complaint, but it wasn't to God. And here they at, and here the children of Israel are at it again. They're complaining, and right out we figure out that, hey, it displeases the Lord. And Numbers 11 is a good chapter to teach you a lot about the Lord. It can help you even fight false doctrines. For example, take a look at the next part of this verse. It says, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of that camp. I mean, that's one long verse. I mean, look how long just verse 1 is. But right there, you can learn a lot about our God, a lot about the Lord, and what you learn right out the go is that he just doesn't like complaining. He just doesn't like complaining. And in this situation, you know, people complain, and he burned them up. He killed them for complaining. He burned them all up. And here's the thing. What's up, man? What you doing over here? He's the guy I was talking about this morning, in case y'all wondering. Listen to the sermon, brother. Don't worry. He puts God number one, right? He could have just stayed in his hotel and napped out and been like, look, the Lord understands how tired I am. He can figure out that I'm not joking. But he's here tonight. Hey, see, proves me right, right? But here's the thing, though. He says that the Lord burned them all up. And it's funny because I have two audio Bibles. You know, one is the most recent one that I just purchased because I figured, okay, maybe the most recent one is probably the better one. You know, that one I liked and I bought it because you can kind of speed it up. And then there's another one that comes with an app that I love to use. I use that app to write scriptures, and that's the Takata app. Whoever has heard of the Takata app, you know, I think it's on both Android and on Apple's system. It's a Takata app. But have you ever noticed that it gives you a free audio Bible? Have you ever noticed that about it? Who knows what I'm talking about in regards to the Takata app? If you ever get a chance to look on your phone, in fact, if you want to do it now, go ahead and do it. I don't mind. But if you search Takata, T-E-C-A-R-T-A, you even put KJV, Takata, that's a good app. You know, you can just download it whenever you want, and you can highlight, you can save things. But one thing that I like is it gives you a free audio Bible. You know, and it is the drama Bible. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't like the drama Bible, it's too distracting. I can kind of understand, but this is different. This is a really interesting one because I was always wondering, why would they come up with an audio Bible when there's already one in existence? Wouldn't that be like a waste of money? But then when you listen to both, you kind of figure out, oh, I see what's going on. Well, let's just say that the audio Bible that they give you for free, that one, they don't necessarily sell, don't even offer it. But here's the thing, that one has a lot of sound effects. And when you listen to Numbers 11, just right off the go, I told my daughter, hey, listen to this. I had her play it so she can give an amen, so I have a witness. So I let her listen to it. And the most recent one that I bought that cost me like $40, it's just the reader. It's the drama Bible, and he just reads it. And he just says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord, you know, burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And that's what you hear. But the old drama audio Bible, I'm like, listen to this, because I want to make sure I have somebody that can say amen. When we hit play, it starts out like with people murmuring. You can hear them in the background. And next thing you know, you hear thunders. Thunders, and then lightning, and then fire, and you hear a lot of people screaming. Ah! They're like screaming. They're like, ah! Am I telling the? There's like men screaming. There's like female screaming. You don't wonder. It wakes you up. You don't wonder what's going on in this chapter. That audio Bible helps you figure out what's going on in that chapter. And then out of curiosity, I'm like, I wonder what they did with Judges 19. Who knows what's going on in Judges 19? That's where the woman gets raped. And so I decided to play it. And right now, I'm sure some liberal's going to hear it and start emailing the card. Like, get rid of that. You know, because here's what happens in Judges, they actually have the woman screaming as she's being raped by the sodomites. She's like, ah, like It talks about how they abused the woman, and then the woman is screaming, like, you know? But that's probably why they decided, hey, let's make a newer drama version. Because guess what? The new one doesn't have a woman screaming in Judges 19. So as you tell little Johnny to listen to the audio Bible, hey, if he listens to the old drama one, he's going to figure out, whoa, you know, they hurt this woman. Even though he may not know what rape is, they might ask questions like, why is this woman screaming? Well, they raped her to death is what the story says. You know, but here in Numbers 11, if you listen to the Takarta, hey, you'll hear that fire came down and these people got consumed and they were all killed. And then guess what happened? It says that the people cried unto Moses and Moses prayed unto the Lord and the fire was quenched. So the few things that we see is that God hates complaining and God hated it so much that he burnt people. He burnt them. He killed them. And then we see Moses praying and the Lord quenches the fire. He stops doing it. So, hey, prayer does help. This is where you pray for people that God is maybe punishing, and you're like, Lord, be merciful. Our prayers do help. This is something that shows us that, hey, we can help, you know, individuals that may not, God may not listen to them, but they'll listen to us. And we're like, Lord, be merciful unto them. Help them. Hey, you know what? Be patient with them. Just let them grow or whatever the case may be. You know, and it says, and he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And I want you to focus on that word, you know, Taberah. Here's the thing. When my daughter was born, like he's struggling right now. Nah, I'm just kidding. You probably have a name for your child yet? You have one? Good. Well, we didn't have one when Christina was born. So we struggled. We were at the hospital trying to figure out what name. And somebody decided to name her after this story, Taberah. Somebody decided to do it. And I'll fess up. That was me. And my wife's like, what? It's like, yeah. I want to name her Taberah. And she's like, why? Because you know what? I struggle with complaining. I just said to myself, I struggle with complaining. The littlest things kind of sets me off, and I tend to complain. And I want to, like, every time I call her for whatever reason, remind me not to complain. And I'll tell her, come on, think about it, honey. You know, if she's around the house, we're like, Taberah, Taberah just reminds me not to complain, you know? And she's like, what? It's like, come on, we don't have to call her Taberah. We can call her Tabby. Huh? How about that one? Hey, Tabby, Tabby, hey, Tabby, you know? She gets in trouble. We're like, Tabby, just to remind me not to complain. And Moab's like, no, there's got to be other ways, you know, that can help you from becoming a person that complains all the time. So I'm like, I'm doing it. That's it. It's going to be Taberah Segura. And then my wife starts crying. She's like, no. She literally started bawling. Like, no. Don't name her Taberah. No. I don't want to explain to people that name. So I'm like, all right. It's like, I'll stay with Christina. I'm like, okay. After crying and crying, I'm like, okay, fine. You were almost named Taberah after this story, little girl. But this sermon is not about complaining, murmuring, or displeasing the Lord. It's kind of like, it's more of a sermon that's kind of like, how could this even be? Because the part that blows me away is verse 4. Look at your Bible. We just saw verse 3. It says, and he called the name of the Lord Taberah because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And right away, I mean, just look at, we just read verse 3. Let's look at verse 4. And the mixed multitude, so here Moses prays for them. The Lord stops the punishment. And then in verse 4, it's almost like it's too hard to believe. It says this, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. They're doing it again. Here the Lord just burned people up. I don't know how many people he killed. They're begging Moses, Moses, tell God to stop. And he does. And what do? They do it right again. That is just human nature. It's like the Bible says, the dog returns back to his vomit. Who's ever seen a dog eat its own vomit? I've seen it once. I had this black Labrador, and he puked all over our kitchen. And we're like, gross. He like runs, then he sprints back and starts licking it all up. I wouldn't even believe that verse had I not seen it myself. Would a dog really eat his own vomit again? Absolutely it will. But that's what we see. Right away, it says it started weeping again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish. Which we did in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions. I'm trying to use my complaining voice here. And the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna. Nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Go to Revelation chapter number 3. It's like, hold up. What are you complaining about? It's not that they don't have food. It's that they don't have the food that they want. Isn't that crazy? Reminds me of this movie. It was a comedy movie about these guys that were rich. Their dad was a rich guy, and they worked for their dad. And what happened is one of the kids, you know, mouthed off to his dad. So his dad punished them. But you know how his dad punished them? By kicking them out of the main mansion and having them live in a guest house. That's how his dad punished them. And then what happened was his brother was sad. He's just sad. And his dad's like, what's your problem? Why are you crying? You kicked out Johnny. It's like, yeah, but I kicked him into the guest house. He's like right over there. He's like, he has everything he needs. You know, he has a fridge, he has a kitchen, he has a food, he has TV. And then the brother's like, yeah, but he has no HBO. You guys will probably recognize that movie. It's a stupid movie. But that's how spoiled these kids are, where his dad punishes one of the kids by kicking him out of the house, by letting him go to the guest house, which was bigger than my house. And not just that, his brother is crying because he doesn't have, not TV, he doesn't have HBO. And I wonder if that's based on a true story. It has to be. It has to be, where rich kids that just go crazy. But this is kind of the same thing, where it's not that they don't have something to eat, it's that they don't like what God's given them to eat. That is wicked. It's like, my goodness, it's the old, you know, the old whatever that parents do to kids. Hey, you know how many children are starving right now in whatever country, you know, and you're complaining about your food? You know, they're right. And it's biblical to be careful complaining about our food. Lest it displease the Lord, and who knows what he'll do. But it doesn't just have to be food. I mean, here they're complaining about Moses, about everything, about God, because the complaints were towards God. But you're right there in Revelation chapter number 3. You know, Revelation chapter number 3 says this, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and straighten the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What do we see here? We see God rebuking the church of Sardis. And I bring this up a lot to people that email us talking about how bad their church is. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the problem? Well, my pastor is not a good soul winner. My pastor's pre-trip. My pastor is this. My pastor is that. And I always ask them, is your pastor saved? Or as you know, oh, yeah. King James only? Absolutely. Well, I don't see what's there to complain about. I really don't. It's like, yeah, it would be great if every church was a hot, on fire, fire-breathing church. That would be awesome. But that's not reality. But that's also not the end of the world. Because look what it says down here. In verse 4, it says, thou hast a few names. So it's God saying, hey, Sardis. You know, it's like, you guys need to get to work. It says right there in verse number 1, it says, you're alive, but you're really dead. Meaning you're a dead church. He says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. It's like, you guys are screwing up a lot of things. You know, your soul winning is ready to die or has died. He says, your works are not perfect before God. So God is making it very clear. Sardis is a dead church and is not a perfect church. He says, your works are not perfect before God. But he says, hey, remember, repent, get it right. Or I'm going to come as a thief and I'm going to take away your light. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which has not defiled their garments. So these are the people that didn't complain, didn't join in on the sin. And guess what happened when the children of Israel started to sin it up? Hey, people started to join in, but not everybody did. Not everybody did. And so guess what? That story is there to help us to realize that, hey, our complaining can affect other people. And I've seen it. I've seen it even in my work. I bring this up a lot. You know, I have a military background. He has a military background. So he can probably tell you more than anybody that one of the biggest people that we've ever seen complains are the guys in the infantry. The infantry guys complain a lot. They join because they want to be hardcore and shoot guns and, you know, run through the jungle. But when they actually start running to the jungle, they're like, wow, this sucks. It's like, it's wet, it's cold, it's miserable. And it's funny because you would think that they will want to train. But after a while, they don't want to train. They hate going to the field. When the captain's like, all right, we're going to do a 10-mile hike. They're like, oh, man, why?
You know, isn't that how it usually happens? And we're like, hey, relax, chill, be careful with the complaining. Hey, the captain, if he hears it, is going to get very upset. Because that's just how it is when people complain all over the place. Here, God's get upset, but also says that Moses get upset. Go ahead and go back to Numbers if you can. We'll keep it simple, Numbers 11:11. You know, so this morning or this evening, I just want to help you guys. This isn't about complaining. This isn't about murmuring. The sermon is not about getting right. This is just kind of to get you to realize, how could this stuff be? These guys got burned up, and right away they go back at it again. It's like, what's going on here? You know, well, we'll see what's going on. We'll look at the scriptures. The scriptures actually gives you an answer. You know, but the sermon title is simply this: Tiberia and Kibroth Hetava, which is the other place that this chapter mentions, and we'll get to that in a second. But if you're right there in Numbers 11:11, let's just kind of finish the story. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me, and I have conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father, you know, beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor, you know, in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So here's Moses saying, hey, these people, they're grieving me. They're complaining. They're complaining. It's driving me nuts. Is this a punishment? Did you put me in charge because you wanted me to suffer? That is not the case. But here Moses is kind of complaining himself. You know, let's just skip to verse number 16. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. So it seems like God's going to answer their prayers. They're like, yeah, we have nothing to eat but this manna. I wish we had all this stuff we had back in Egypt. And they're crying. And now Moses is saying, hey, God's heard your cries, and he's going to give you this stuff to eat. Not 1 day, not 2 days, you know, not even 5, 10 days, nor 20 days. Like, what's going on? Are they being blessed? No, here's the thing. Sometimes when you push God too far, and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing, he'll just let you do whatever you want. He'll just let you backslide to the point where it says right here in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. God just going to let you go. You know, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but the key example is the prodigal son. What happened? Give me my money. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. He's like, son, everything you have is yours. You're with me. No, I want out. And sure enough, what happened? He gives him what he wants. And sometimes you may think, God is with me. But why would he be giving me these things? You know, he's like, yeah, I know other people are telling me that I'm wrong, but if I was really wrong, would God really allow me to succeed in this manner? Yeah, but the ways of man at the end is basically going to be the way of destruction. And here we see the children of Israel. We see the nature of God. People are complaining, whining, whatever, and then God just kind of gives them what they want. And they're probably thinking, well, amen, it's about time. You know, it's like we knew these things were not something that we shouldn't be asking for. But let's take a look. Verse number 20. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised. Now it's getting a little ugly. They first might have thought as he's talking, oh, he is going to give us these things? Not 2, 3, 5 days? Not even 10? Not even 20? They're probably thinking, great, awesome, it's about time. But now he's saying, hey, he's going to give you these things. And they're probably thinking, well, amen. Until he gets to the part where it says this, that you have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sent them round about the tabernacle. So God is saying, hey, you're going to watch me perform this miracle. You're going to watch me give these people what they want. So go to verse number 30. Let's go to verse number 30, and we'll wrap it up. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. These are the animals that God gave them so they can eat their meat that they've been missing out so much on, because manna wasn't good enough for them. What God was providing for them, it wasn't good enough for them. They were spoiled brats in the desert just whining and complaining about what they didn't have because they were too blind to see what they had. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. Go to Psalm 78:12. So what do we see here? We see people complaining. What else do we see? We see God giving them what they want. Is that an evidence that you're right with the Lord? God giving you everything that you desire? No. Sometimes he'll give you over unto your own desires. One key example is the rich man that had all these riches. And sure enough, he ended up getting more. We spoke about that this morning. This guy ended up getting a whole lot more. And he's like, whoa, you know, I'm getting so much more. You know, my business is growing. What do I do? I know I'm going to grow it even more. You know, I'm going to grow it even more. So at the end, I can basically retire early. And what does the Bible say? You fool. Today your soul is going to be required of thee. Almost the same thing if you think about it. Here the people are just like trying to live life according to their own eyes, according to what they seem as wise. They're obviously complaining. God tries to kind of show them that they're going in the wrong direction. When he burns up the people, they continue in their ways. Sure enough, God's like, okay, fine. Let me try it a different way. This time I just give it to them, you know, to see what they do. Gives it to them. They start eating the animals, and while they're eating them, what happens? It says right there that while they're eating them, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against them, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. So first he burns them. Now he's killing them with a plague. You know, he's sending the coronavirus. So he sends the coronavirus to basically destroy these people, you know, because God is sick of them. And that can kind of be America in a way, where we have so much, and yet we complain. People are complaining about America, how bad America is. And it's like, how could you complain about America so bad? That America is so racist. You know, it's just crazy. It's like everything seems to just be about race, homosexuality, whatever. You know, it's like, it seems like the people that hate this country, you know, they hate it for all the wrong reasons. And as bad as this country is, I mean, do you guys really want to live anywhere else? I mean, people died on planes trying to leave Afghanistan. How crazy is that? You know, people are crossing who knows what, you know, all through Mexico from Haiti trying to get to the U.S. Because as bad as the U.S. is, we really don't have a lot to complain about or nothing to complain about. Because America is pretty good, you know. But I wonder how many Christians, because they don't have that dream job or whatever, you know, I wonder how many of them are kindling God's wrath, you know, because they can't see how good they have it. That's the key problem here, is that these people can't see how good they have it. And I guess if there's something to get from this sermon, it's not to complain. You guys already know that. You know, my brother over here, you know, with the red T-shirt. Sorry, I forgot your name. He's like, I remember you last time you were talking about the roaches. Yeah, that sermon was about complaining. Did I say, he hasn't forgotten about the roaches. And then the other brother's like, yeah, something about the hotel, right? I'm like, hey, you guys definitely remember stuff. Amen, praise the Lord. You know, so those sermons were about complaining. Those sermons about being careful. This sermon is like, how can we end up getting to that point? Because this story that we see in Numbers is repeated in Psalms. Let's just take a look at it really quickly. You know, I'll finish up in about 10 minutes. But the book of Psalms mentioned Numbers. But we can get something out of it as well. So if you're right there in Psalm 78, let's take a look. It says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. So here, the book of Psalms is showing us just how good God was to the children of Israel. Let's look at verse 16. And he brought them streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness and tempted God in their hearts by asking for meat for their lust. So this is referring to Numbers 11. It says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. So this is what we saw in Numbers 11:1. Why is this? Why is it being repeated? Because it's super important to God. He didn't have to. Numbers 11, shouldn't that have been enough? Why is he talking about it again? And then he also brings it up in the New Testament. Because he doesn't want us to fall into the sin where we can't see how good we have it and we start to complain a little in our lives. And be careful. The Bible says, you all know that verse, right? Take heed lest we fall. You guys heard that? But did you know that one of the things that is telling you to be careful is complaining, murmuring? So that verse is not like just referring to, hey, be careful that you don't lust, you might fall into adultery. It has a list of things to take heed of. That's not just a self-contained verse. It mentions a few things before it, and it's telling us, see these things I just talked about? And we'll look at that verse. He's like, take heed lest you start doing these things. So these things are things that God is highlighting because these things may be little, but they'll end up being big. They'll end up being bigger sins that will cause you to harm your life. And let's just continue. It says that a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and have given them of the corn of heaven, and man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full, and he caused an east wind to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowl like as the sand of the sea, and he left it, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. Look at that, their own desire. God didn't give them what he wanted to give them. He wanted to give them manna, you know, but that wasn't enough for them. They started to complain. They complained so much, he gave them their own desire. Sounds familiar? Sounds like that verse we just talked about where the backslider is filled and heart shall be filled with his own ways. Why is that important? Because sometimes we may think that, hey, everything's working out well, you know. Yes, the direction I'm going is not one that people have told me is the right way to go. But, hey, if it was that bad, you know, why would it be working out so well? It's that whole gainless, gonless mentality, you know, where people think, well, look how much I have. Even though their career is a wicked career, you know. I think The Rock is a perfect example. He has millions of dollars for movies, right? The Rock is this famous actor. Y'all probably know who I'm talking about, Dwayne Johnson or whatever. I just walked by a liquor store back in Tempe because I was going to the store because it's just right across the street. I went with my kids to buy some AA batteries to put them on Pastor Anderson's mic. And as I'm walking, because I didn't want to drive, so I took my kids, we crossed the street, just went to the store to buy some batteries. We passed this liquor store, and it's a big poster of The Rock. And The Rock, I already heard that he gets paid the most out of all the actors. Something like that, like he makes like 20-something million a movie. I think he made like 70-something million off the movie. And you would think, okay, you know, the guy has a lot of money. You know, I'm sure he's probably just going to stick to acting. No, this poster was him basically selling tequila. I guess he opened up a tequila brand. You know, he opened up some kind of tequila company. I forgot what it's called. So it's him with all his tattoos, just kind of like a cup of tequila or whatever, you know. And I'm pretty sure he's going to make millions, yay, if not hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. But I'm sure it doesn't take a genius to Google, like, the damage of alcohol or to Google, you know, the destruction of alcohol or to Google something. It wasn't hard because I know I did it one time, like, hey, you know, whatever, something, the bad things about alcohol. It was just a cheesy search, and it brought up how billions of dollars are wasted a year cleaning up alcohol-related incidents, whether it's deaths on the freeways, whether it's vehicles being fixed because insurance have to fix these vehicles when people are in DUIs, lawyers, all that stuff. It was all combined. And what did it show? Just how damaging alcohol is to the United States. How much money is costing the United States. So I'm pretty sure that these people that go into businesses, they don't just think, you know what? I'm thinking I'm gonna start this business. I'm pretty sure they look at all the good and they look at all the bad. They research it like crazy to see if this is a business that they want to open up. You know, Brother Rodriguez, I'm sure he's done the same thing before you open up your business. You look at all the pros and the cons and figure, you know what? hey, I looked at everything I possibly need to look at. I'm ready to start my own business. Hey, it makes sense. Let's do it. And I'm pretty sure one of the things that he thought when he was picking a career was, hey, I don't want to pick something that's going to cause me to sin against the Lord. I'm pretty sure he did that before he got into plumbing. I'm pretty sure it wasn't just like, well, what's available out there? The first thing that he finds, that's what he's going to go with. But this is the thing. The Rock is obviously probably making millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's thinking, hey, if it was that bad, why would God be blessing me? It's just the same thing with these people. Hey, if it's that bad, why is God giving us quails? You know, because it's going to give you your heart's desire and then punish you. Might as well do it, you know, before it comes down hard on you. But it says that they filled them with their own desire. It says they were not estranged from the lust. You know, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believe not his wondrous works. Is that guy that keeps getting chastised over and over and over and he cannot get a clue? You know, I know of someone who knows better and yet continues to disregard the things of God, where his mother's coming to me saying, hey, you need to talk to such and such. He's like, he just doesn't want to come to church. He's like, he's just getting back into his old ways, you know? He thinks he's fine because he hasn't landed in the hospital yet, but he's continuing in his old sins. And I'm like, no problem. Let me see if I can talk to him, try to get him back into church. And I believe the guy is safe because he's a sincere dude. What's the point of lying to me? Every time I ask him, hey, you know you're safe. I know I'm safe, brother. I'm just weak right now. At least he's admitting that he's screwing up and needs to do something about it. But I'm sure that things are going well in this life. Not probably everything, but some things. And at that point, he probably thinks, well, if it was that bad, you know, God would have punished me severely by now if I was really that bad. No, God sometimes gives you your own desire and then later comes down on you. And then you can't blame him because you got God's word right here over and over again. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. While you go there, I'm just going to talk about the rich guy. The rich guy that had everything. He says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. Just because God's blessing the guy, it says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose should those things be which thou hast provided? You know, so that's the guy that God tells us, don't be like him. Don't be a guy that's out of my will. He's prospering. He thinks I'm with him. He's like, no. Hey, I'll give him a chance to get right. But if he doesn't, I'm going to come down on him. But now we can see a little bit as to why. Why do people end up becoming these individuals that can't really see how good they have it and they start to complain? And that's the thing that I want to talk about tonight. It's like, hey, let's not be these people that just can't see how good we have it and we start to let, you know, murmuring creep into our hearts. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye. And that's what was happening in Numbers 11. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They were crying underneath their breaths about how bad they have it and how good they had it in Egypt. And here it says, hey, don't be fornicating. Watch out for these things. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, this is what I was talking about, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. People quote it like crazy, but when you ask them, give me examples of what God's referring to, murmuring doesn't come up. Murmuring isn't one of the top things they'll bring up. They'll bring up, hey, let's just make sure we don't start drinking alcohol lest we fall. Don't think that it's okay to start smoking pot lest you fall or whatever. But murmuring is one of the ones that's in this list. Go to Luke 15, 11. We'll wrap it up with Luke 15, 11. That's the story of the prodigal son. You guys know the story. The son came to his father. He said, hey, give me my portion of goods that follow me. And it says that, hey, you know, he wanted to leave. And that's basically what happened. The father gave him his portions. He took off, wasted all his substance with righteous living. And then he messed up his life so bad that he kind of you know, started to come back to his senses, and he ended up saying to himself, you know, what am I doing? You know, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will go back to my father, and will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before, you know, thee. And this is an example of what can happen to us as well. We'll push God enough, he'll probably just get out of our way and let us fall. So the faster we fall, the faster we can get right with him. And that's one of the reasons why he will let you end up doing those desires that are your own desires. It's like, hey, you know what? He knows what he ought to do. I keep telling him. I had people tell him. He read in the Bible. He just right now doesn't have the faith to trust me. And he's just going basically by what his heart is telling him to do. So I'm just going to let him continue and let him do what he wants. And the end result is that God wants you to just fall so he can get you back up and get you back on track. You know, but obviously there's another part to this story, and that's the part of the brother where he hears all this music. He figures out his brother is back and they killed the fatted calf, and he gets upset. It says in verse 28, if you can meet me right there in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So what do we see here? We see a story of a guy that's upset. He's complaining. He's complaining to his father. His brother's back. Instead of rejoicing and having the right mindset, he's upset. He's complaining. And we see what's going on. His dad says, hey, what are you talking about? Thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Why is he doing this? He's trying to remind him how good he has it. Why is he upset? Because he has forgotten how good he has it. What was the issue with the people in Numbers 11? They have forgotten how much God has done for them in the wilderness, feeding the manna, everything, saving them from the Egyptians, crossing the Red Sea, all the promises God gave them. We're going to give you guys a better land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But yet they got to the point of being murmurers, complainers, despisers of those which are good, which was Moses. What was their problem? They have forgotten, like it even said, how much God has done for them. They have forgotten how good they have it. And when we stop and think about it, when we start to complain, it's because we have forgotten how good we really have it. Starting with salvation, starting with a mansion in heaven, starting with being, you know, saved and going to be with Christ forever and ever. Amen. You know, those are the things we tend to forget. And we need to start doing what the song tells us to do. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. You see what I'm talking about? You see how much the Lord has done? Sorry, I know I screwed it up. But that's really how you fix this. That's what the Father is doing. He's trying to remind them, hey, count your blessings. You're ever with me. Remember what he did to the people in Numbers 11? What are you guys complaining about? It's like, we got all we got is this manna. It's coriander seed and this and that. It's like, hey, that should be enough. But no, it wasn't. Because they really thought they had it worse than they really should. Because it started to get prideful and arrogant and think that they should have it better than they really should have it. And that was the issue. And how do you get to that point? Well, here's a clue. John 8:12 says this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what was the problem with the children of Israel? They just didn't believe God. They didn't trust him. So guess what? I highly doubt they were following him to the T. I highly doubt they would. If they don't even trust God, because that was the problem. God saying, hey, you guys provoked me. You guys didn't trust me. You guys didn't believe me. So you really think that they were making an effort to retain everything that Moses had taught them? Highly doubt it. And here's makes it very clear that if we follow the Lord, guess what? We're not going to walk in darkness. We're not going to be blind walking down the wrong path. And this is the problem that we see with everyone else, including the prodigal son's brother, is that he couldn't see clearly. He couldn't see clearly. He had forgotten how good he had it. Therefore, he started whining and complaining to his father. And his father, well, I'm going to fix this by reminding you how good you have it. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. So when you get to the point of complaining, realize, yes, it's a serious sin, and catch yourself like, whoa, what am I doing? Why am I even complaining? I'm saved. I'm born again. I have eternal life. You know, if God never gives me another blessing, you know what? I'm good. I really am good. What else could we possibly need? And that would cheer you up and get you from becoming this complainer, because guess what? You may not see it, but we're all going to see it. And guess what? You may not be able to see this. It's going to annoy everyone. Everyone. But the worst person to annoy is God. That's the one guy you do not want to annoy. Forget about me. Forget about your pastor. Forget about your church members. It is God. Because remember, it said it displeased the Lord. And Moses was also grieved. You know, so let's not remember. Or let's remember that, hey, when you start thinking, man, you know what? It's like, life ain't great right now. We can always just stop and count our blessings. And like it says right here, get back to following the Lord. Get out of darkness. Be able to see clearly and realize how good we'd have it. So we don't complain about how bad we actually have it, which we really don't, if you really stop and think about it. So tonight, what am I wanting you guys to remember? Remember those two cities where he burned them up and he hit them with a plague. And by all means, don't name your child Tiberius, okay? Just read Numbers 11 and you'll be fine. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. Thank you for these stories in the Bible. Lord, they're in there over and over and over again for a reason. And it's just to help us to stay right. That's the whole purpose of these stories, to scare us and help us to realize who you really are, unlike the Jehovah's Witnesses who keep bringing this stupid thing up, that how could a loving God burn anyone? Well, you did it in Numbers 11, and we know you're a loving God, so they clearly don't know who you are. But Father, for us, help us to continue to follow you so that we're not in darkness, so that we can see clearly, and so we can always see how good we have it, and keep ourselves, Lord, from becoming like the children of Israel in Numbers 11. So I ask you to just help us to do that. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Pull out your hymnals and turn to your last song. We're going to do another Christmas song here. We're going to do song 426. Song 426, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We're going to sing it out there on the first. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
All right, good singing. You're all dismissed.